17 verses 1 through 5 in Japanese first.
ヨハネの福音書17章1節から5節。イエスはこれらのことを話してから目を天に向けて言われた。父よ、時が来ました。あなたの子があなたの栄光を表すためにこの栄光を表してください。それは子があなたからいただいたすべてのものに永遠の命を与えるため、あなたはすべての人を支配する権威を子にお与えになったからです。その永遠の命とは、彼らが唯一の誠の神であるあなたと私のあなたの使わされたイエス・キリストを知ることです。あなたが私に言わせるためにお与えになった技を私は成し遂げて、地上であなたの栄光を表しました。今は父を御そばで私を栄光で輝かせてください。世界が存在する前にご一緒にいて持っていましたあなたの栄光で輝かせてください。
John 17, verse 1 to 5. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do.And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good. It feels like, I was going to say spring. It feels like fall, doesn't it? It's nice. I love it. It's just the crispness in the air. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the fall coming. Speaking of the fall, I think it was maybe 2 years ago now, 3 years ago, around this time that we finally started meeting in this building. It was actually like October 3rd or something like that, 2016. So already been 3 years. Time flies, doesn't it? And speaking of time, I want to talk about three things today. I want to talk about timing, I want to talk about eternal life, and I want to talk about glorifying God, glorification. Now, when it comes to timing, it seems throughout the Gospels, there was a specific timeline or timing issue with Jesus. Not issue as in problem, but people would always ask Jesus to do something, and Jesus says, it's not time yet, or it's not my time, or in here it finally says, my time has come. Have you noticed that? In John, one of the first things, miracle Jesus does in the Gospel of John, so the Gospel of John is just basically Jesus' story told through the person John, the Apostle John, but in the Gospel of John, Jesus goes to a wedding. Remember that? He goes to a wedding, and in the wedding, his mom says, Jesus, they ran out of wine. Do something. And Jesus says, my time has not yet come. He eventually makes wine, and I don't know if that was a special occasion because it was his mom. We don't know exactly what happened there, but he makes the wine. And here in John 17, this is at the end of Jesus' life. He knows that his time is short. Meaning, Romans are going to get him, the Jewish leaders are going to try him, and that he will be crucified. And he knows that his time is short. He knows what he came to earth for. He knew this going into it, and he prays one of his last public prayers, if not his last public prayer. And Jesus looked towards the heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorified, may glorify you. This prayer will go on to pray for himself, pray for his disciples, and then pray for all of his disciples. And I find it interesting that Jesus actually prays for himself. Yeah? You guys ever feel selfish sometimes when you pray for yourself? Well, here we see Jesus praying for himself. And Jesus is our ultimate example of how to live the Christian life. He prays for himself. So I'm comforted to know that the most holy person to ever walk on earth actually prayed for himself. Yeah? It's okay to pray for yourself. And at the beginning of the prayer, you just want to look at some of the postures. Did you notice what Jesus does, how he prays? He doesn't fold his hands. Well, maybe he does fold his hands. But he doesn't close his eyes. He doesn't bow his head. But he actually looks up to the heaven and prays. And he prays to the Father. I don't know. I just like looking at these details. And I wonder, you know, maybe are we getting it wrong? Maybe we're getting it wrong by folding our hands and closing our eyes and looking down. Maybe we're missing a lot of things by doing that kind of thing. Maybe we should pray like Jesus, look up toward the heaven and say, Father. And then we see a shooting star or something. No, I don't know. Just to him to, you know, let us know he's listening to us. He prays, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. Now this prayer is specifically aimed towards being glorified and glorifying the Father, because it's time to do that. The time has come. The hour has come. It doesn't necessarily, when he said it's a, you know, it's a phrase, it doesn't mean in the next 60 minutes it's going to happen, but the time is so short that the it's going to happen. Now I want to talk about just why does Jesus pray that? Yeah. If the hour has come, won't it just happen? Right? Just automatically. It's time to happen. So just let it happen. But instead of just letting it happen, he actually prays, Lord, the hour has come. Lord, do it. And it goes back to maybe something what Nate shared here as he chaired, that the promises of God being prayed back to God. It's this idea that we work together with God in some of these things. That even though the divine, almighty, all-powerful God says, and I think God is in control of everything. I think he is sovereign. That even when the sovereign God, it's time for him to move, Jesus just doesn't passively wait for him to move. He actively engages in what God is doing and the timing of it all, and says, Father, it's time. Let's do this together. And it's an interesting concept. I don't know if I do this enough in my own life. And maybe I don't do this enough in my own life just because I'm not in tune as Jesus is. So Jesus, he is walking perfectly with the Father. So he knows when things are supposed to happen. Some of us, we may know and we may think and we may not know and we may get it wrong. But has any of you ever felt like, okay, you know, I think it's time for something to happen. No? You guys ever feel that in your spirit? I think it's time for me to get a new car or something. Or I think it's time for me to get buy a house. I think it's time for me to move. I think it's time for me to seek for a new job. I think it's time for me to ask for a raise, a promotion. I think it's time for this to happen. You know, have you ever gotten that in your spirit? Like, and you're kind of restless and you can't get it out of your mind. And when you go to sleep, it's just there, it's sitting there. And, you know, maybe that's God's way of telling you, hey, it's a season where it's time for you to do something. And instead of having the attitude of, oh, well, God is sovereign, if it's going to happen, it's just going to happen, I think all through Scripture, it teaches us, no, even though God is sovereign, he wants his people to ask, to seek, to knock. Amen. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Right. Not because oh yeah, I won't go there. Not because you're a sinner, you know. You have not because you're a sinner. You have not because you haven't been holy enough. You have not because it says you have not because you ask not. And there's a time and place where the people of God, when their attitude isn't towards, I don't know, praying, working with God, that sometimes, even though things are supposed to happen, it doesn't happen. Is that too bold to say? Can I say sometimes, even though something is supposed to happen, even though God wants it to happen, even though it's time for it to happen, that if the people of God just are so passive, it doesn't happen. Case in point, God does miraculous things for the children of Israel to get set out of bondage and free from Egypt. Powerful things happen. They go, they cross the Red Sea, they're in the wilderness for 40 years, they see miraculous things happen in those 40 years, and they're walking with God, they're given the laws of God in those 40 years, they see the glory of God come down on a mountain, and all of these are things are happening those 40 years. And after 40 years, it's actually time for them to receive their promise to go into the land that's flowing with milk and honey. And so Moses says, okay, well, let's check out the land. And they send, I think it was 12 people, right? They send 12 spies into the land to check it out. And the 12 spies, they come back and said, you won't believe this place. It's amazing. But there are giants in that land. Now, I don't know if they were little giants or if they were like LeBron James and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar kind of giants. You know, they're just really big people. I don't know, you know. But they're saying, listen, we can't take that. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, we can take them. With God, we could take them. But the other spies are like, no, we can't take them. This is not going to happen. Blah, 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 you know. Moku, and you know, you would think the people who have been sick and tired of manna, who's been sick and tired of not having their own place, who's sick and tired of wandering in the wilderness, will finally say, you know what, it doesn't matter if we lose, win or lose, let's just go. But they don't say that. You know what they do? They have this self-preserving mentality of no. And the children of Israel, they have to go back into the wilderness. They were ready to enter into the promises of God. But instead of saying, the hour has come, glorify us, that we may glorify you, they said, I kind of like, you know, this situation I'm in, it's not the ideal situation, but I'm comfortable. I've learned to live with it. It's not the best, but hey, you know, I could do with this. Now, there's nothing wrong with being content. Let me just say, there's nothing wrong with being content with life. In fact, I hope all, each and every one of us can be content with life. But when God puts a discontent in life, it's a dangerous thing, saying, no, you know, actually, I don't need all of that. And as human beings, as broken, fragile, sinful human beings, sometimes we just say, you know what, yeah, I don't, no. And God wants us, it's an interesting thing. God wants us to be glorified. And God wants to be glorified through us. Timing. When God starts knocking at the door of your heart with, it is time for something, go ahead and pray a bold prayer and say, Lord, do it. Let's do it together. Let's do it. Let's go in the boss's office and demand that raise. Let's do it, Lord. Let's go out into, you know, let's go and get that house. Let's go and get that car. Let's go and get that Mercedes Benz. No, just kidding. No. If that's what the Lord wants you to get, then go ahead and go get it. Let me just tell you though, just like the children of Israel and just like Jesus' life, we pray for it. And the reason why we sometimes say, well, it's better, maybe I like it the way it used to be, is because when you pray, glorify your Son, oftentimes before the glory, there is a cross. Before the promises of God, there is a war. There is a battle. There are real giants in the land, and the children of Israel, the ones that did go in and possess their promises, they had to fight those monsters. And you and I, when the time is ready and when the time comes, not only do we have to pray, but we also have to persevere. In Jesus' case, it was the cross. He endured the cross, and he was resurrected, and now he is glorified forever with the Father. Let me continue. It says, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now when it comes to timing, when it comes to glorifying God, and when it comes to being glorified by God, it's not simply about feeling good about ourselves. Yeah, that sounds silly, right? Who actually thinks that? But isn't that something we all kind of desire and crave? No? Yeah? We all desire that and crave that. And, you know, I don't think... there's something missing. I think we desire and crave it because there is something missing. So when Jesus asked to be glorified, what did that mean? What does that mean? And it seems like in the following verses, what it meant was, and what it means is, that God restores Jesus to his original state and gives him the ability to do what he was called to do, which is to give eternal life. And on a side note, eternal life, that's an interesting phrase. That's something that it's something, eternal life, it's not just something that Christians sort of value, huh? I used to watch, well, I guess, you know, wasn't there the Fountain of Youth or something like that? I don't know if that's a Christian thing, necessarily. I used to watch this anime, Dragon Ball. You guys, any of you know Dragon Ball? Any of you watch Dragon Ball? Any Dragon Ball fans? Well, in Dragon Ball, there was, I guess, this... I think there was this guy named Frieza or something like that, and he is a bad guy, and he wanted eternal life, eien no inochi or something like that. And back when I was a kid, I didn't know anything about like Christianity or eternal life in scripture, but you know, eternal life is something that I think it's something we all in some ways desire, eternal life. And what is eternal life then? Now, eternal life isn't just a duration of our existence. It's not just a quantity. But eternal life is quality of life. And here Jesus says, it's the quality of knowing relationally God as the Father and Jesus his Son as the Messiah. That's eternal life. It's being connected back to God the Father, as the Father, knowing Jesus, His Son, as Lord and Savior, as Messiah. I believe this eternal life, it's very similar to what Adam and Eve had when they walked in the garden of paradise with God. But it's better now. What Adam and Eve had, they were meant to be, they were meant to represent God on earth. They were made in the image of God. And when they said when they say they were made in the image of God, they were meant to reflect God in on earth. And so, and I heard, I forgot where I read this, but they were supposed to be so much like God that if an angel were to have passed them by, they would have said, "Oh, I thought you were God." You know, they were made in the image of God. And when God makes something to look like something, He probably makes it pretty good, right? And so when He made Adam and Eve in the image of God, when angels walked by God, and when angels walked by Adam and Eve and said, "Wait, what? Didn't I just walk by you?" No, that was God you walked by. They were given authority here on earth to exercise authority just as God exercised authority in heaven. And they were made to do that here on earth. But of course, the fall happened. Sin entered into the world. And they gave up their original calling and purpose in this world. Jesus, interestingly, when He says, "The time, the hour has come, glorify Your Son, that Your Son may be glorified," He's asking, "God, make me, place me, and give me all the things I had before I came here on earth." The thing with Jesus is He wasn't born into sin like you and I are born into sin. He was born into this world because He chose to. He chose to give up His divinity in heaven, strip all of that off, give up the throne and all of that comfort to come here on earth to walk as a human being. And now He's saying, "My time here on earth is done. My 30 years is up. Or 30 plus years is up. Now I'm going to go back to You, Father. It's time for me to go back to You. Glorify me just as I was glorified in the beginning." That brings me to just even the grace Jesus needed to fulfill what He was called to do. Now earlier I said, when it's time, the time has come, the hour has come for you to do something, it's important to pray. And I believe it's important to pray because even as talented, as wise, as gifted as some of us may be, some of you may be, when it's time to fulfill the purposes of God, if you think you could do it on your own wisdom, on your own good looks, on your own whatever, you're mistaken. Jesus Himself knew that He needed God's grace, and that's why He prayed, "Father, do this." You and I, unless God's grace is on us, I believe we will always continue to fall short of God wants for us. God's grace. I'm beginning to appreciate God's grace more and more each day. The older I get, the more grace I need. Yeah? I'm realizing, oh man, it's just God's grace that I'm not like, I haven't blown out a knee, that my Achilles is still like functioning. It's only by God's grace, that I could do all the things that I'm able to do. It's just His grace. This past weekend I got sick. I don't know if it's really sick, but on a Saturday when I get sick, I like to ham it up, I don't like to do anything, especially when I don't have to do anything. Yeah, I got pretty sick. I lost 6 pounds though, so I don't know, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. But I realized, you know, and with the job I'm doing, so I work part-time hospice, and I'm visiting a lot of, so hospice is, they're terminally ill, they pass away within 6 months, you can't be on hospice unless that's what you're diagnosed with. And I, you know, sometimes I meet young people, like people that are even younger than me. I met a guy that's younger than me, and he's terminally ill, and he was telling me about a story. Just, he grew up a boxer, he was in the Junior Olympics, and he used to, you know, have all these things and able to do all these things, and I was just like, wow, you know, it's amazing. And then he's like, yeah, and I was going to go and compete in the Junior Olympics, and they had to do a physical, you know, and the physical came back and they said, you know, you have cancer. And he's like, what do you mean I have cancer? I'm running like 6 miles a day. I'm training every day. What do you mean I have cancer? And they're like, you have cancer. Like, and it's just, I don't know. I'll never think cancer is the will of God in anyone's situation. But the grace of God over our lives, even the health you have, the ability to be here, the grace of God, without His grace, if He were to remove grace over our lives, I don't know how messed up our lives would be. I don't know where I'd be, personally, without His grace over me. Anyways, I went on a little rabbit trail, but going on, moving on. And Jesus begins, continues to say, I brought glory on earth by finishing the work You gave me to do, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So I wanted to talk about timing, and I wanted to talk about eternal life. Eternal life is a quality of life. It's not just a duration. Because if you had like a long life that was not good, you know, that's not a good life. In fact, I think that's why God put such a short limit on our lives, because living in this sinful world for this long is not the life God wants us to live. He puts a cap on our life, and perhaps even those that go, that their life is cut short, maybe that's grace. But eternal life isn't the duration of life, but it's a quality of life. It's a life of knowing God. In this life, when we're with God and when our time here is over, I believe what we continue to do on that side of eternity is very similar of what we're doing now on this side of eternity, but without the element of sin. That's just my take on what heaven is like. I think there are schools in heaven. I think there are places where you could... maybe there are concerts in heaven, I don't know. Certainly there's one for God, but playing instruments. Of course there are harps in heaven, you know, that's a classic one. But I think what we finish here on this side is something we continue to do on the other side. Unless we're building with things that don't last on this side of earth. But he says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And I want to talk about glorification, glory, as we finish up. Jesus asked for glory, not simply for himself, but for the sake of glorifying God. When God glorifies us, and that's an interesting statement, but God does want to glorify you. Did you know that? That's what the scripture says. If you read the scripture, it says, you know, he predestined us to glorify us and all these other things. He wants to glorify you. And what is this glory then? Ultimately, when God glorifies us, it's for the sake of glorifying God again, magnifying God, elevating God, giving God what is due to him. the praise and worship, exaltation of God. And for Jesus, how Jesus glorifies God is by connecting lost humanity back into a relationship, intimate relationship with God. For Jesus, the way Jesus wanted to glorify God, the way Jesus was called to and created to glorify God, is to finish the work God gave him to do. As one pastor says it, is to do his homework. God gave Jesus an assignment, and the way Jesus glorified God was to finish that assignment. And I believe it works similar to us as well. God gives each and every one of us an assignment as well, a purpose, a calling, a reason to live. The way we bring glory to God is to finish that and to do what God gave us, created us to do. And as we do that, I believe God will bring glory to us. Isn't that amazing? That He wants to give us crowns of righteousness. That He wants to clothe us with the best robes. That He wants to put a ring on our finger, a ring of authority. That He wants to give us the best shoes to wear. I'm getting all of this from the prodigal son. When the prodigal son returned, he clothed him, he put shoes on his feet, he put a ring on his finger, and all these other things. And I think in the same way, we have purpose and calling. The way we bring glory to God is to finish those things, to do those things. And not just to finish and do it, but to do it in His nature. And I think those two go hand in hand. Without immersing ourselves in becoming, having the nature of God. And when I say the nature of God, I'm not talking about being the omni natures, you know. I'm talking more about His character nature. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. As we immerse ourselves into becoming more like Him, growing more like Him, I believe the clearer the picture of what He wants us to do will come to us. When I was younger, I thought it was going to be something like big, you know. As I get older, I realize, actually, that's not what I want either. I actually don't want like that kind of stuff. And I don't know if God wants me to do it. Maybe I'm just being like, maybe I'm being the Israel, I'm comfortable where I am, you know. I don't know. But, you know, when I was younger, I thought it was going to be really big. It doesn't have to be really big. Now, not all of us are called to be really, you know, famous or big. But just do what God created you to do. Passion. He gave you passion. Yeah? It's grace to have passion. You know that? Some of us are so depressed we don't have passion. It's grace to have passion. The passion He gives you, steward it well. And as we do those things for the Lord, I believe one day when our time here is done and our hour has come, that He will glorify us to the place where Adam and Eve once were, and even better than that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. Jesus, You looked up into the heavens when You prayed, so I'm going to open my eyes and look up to the ceiling and pray, Lord, if anyone's hour has come, for whatever it is, it may not be their life hour, you know, their greatest accomplishment in life hour, but if it's their time for a new job, a promotion, to move, if if it's their time for whatever it may be, Lord. I pray, Father, you'll give us the grace to ask and to seek and to knock. Even the grace to pray, Lord, to pray the right thing. To work with you. To be in agreement with your promises over our lives. Even to speak those things out. Even to ask those around us to be praying with them for those things. I pray for JCCT, Lord. If the hour has come for this church to have something that you want us to have, Lord, I pray that you would put it upon our hearts that we could corporately pray for those things to happen, to come into being, to be aligned with you. I thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If we could all stand for the closing song.